There are many someones and many some things that have an influence over us in our lives, to whom we have then some loyalties. But the authorities in our house are the authority in our household is pretty clear. Allison, my wife, may share with you from time to time how she has been known to say some things that are kind of dumb. But she'll, wait a minute. But she'll share, you'll know when I'm about to say something dumb. I'll begin my sentence with, Tom told me. And so you know where the authority is in our house. And we reference in Scripture the picture of authority as the one who is king. And so a king is a lifelong monarch, usually ruling over a major territory, holds a preeminent position, superior to others. Now, when you think of a king, you might have some different images in your mind. You might think of a tyrant, one who mistreats people, who is unrestrained by any laws, who exercises an oppressive power. Or you may think of just a figurehead, one who represents a previous era, something of the past, one who is without any real power now. Or you may think of a benevolent king, one who is marked by being kind and doing good, maybe the king of fairy tales. But when we talk about Jesus as king, the title is significant for us. First of all, Jesus is sovereign in authority. He is the supreme authority in our lives, above all others. And with that authority, he calls us. And the second thing is that Jesus' reign is eternal. And with that is the message that we have to share. Our scriptures are always full of great ironies. And with that is the misunderstanding of Jesus of his day. We read today from the passion narrative of Jesus being on the cross. And there is the mocking of Jesus. He is given the title King of the Jews, or more accurately, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And they put a royal placard, as a king would have, above his head, announcing who he is, announcing his title. And then as he then is dying upon the cross, you have an image of being served by a royal cupbearer, the one who brings him the sour wine. But the crucifixion is the fate of a rebel, a revolutionary figure, one who is a threat to the ruling empire. Jesus is indeed a revolutionary, for he transforms the meaning of kingship in the meaning of kingdom. So Jesus the King is the one with supreme authority, and with that issues a call to us. The message that we have is of God's kingdom, that we are citizens of this realm. The world in which we live is a foreign land to us. It is not the world that influences us or has authority. It is not the world that we care about and how it affects us. The man was having a very difficult day. He finally got home and he's lamenting with his wife. And he says, oh, today was so terrible and the whole world hates me. She says, that's not true. The whole world hates you? Why, there's quite a few people who don't even know you yet. But we are not to live as if this world is our home. We are not to blend into this world, be consumed with the world, or enamored by the world. Certainly, we live in this creation, and it is ours to enjoy, but as one author put it, we are not to seek comfort more than we are to seek Christ. And so Jesus, the one who has authority, and we are to serve our King. His lordship is to be recognized. And we are to be struck with how that lordship, that leadership, is exercised in his own life. For see, we see Jesus as one who is selfless. And from that, we too are to be a people of self-sacrifice. We see Jesus as our authority, and it is to our King we are to be obedient. And so as He, we are to stand for justice, for freedom. We are to be a blessing to others. One of the things about we, us, who live in this country makes us very, very unique, I think. There was an author who decided to create a picture, an image for us to clarify us how we stand in the world in which we live. And started with this picture. Imagine the whole world's population is represented by a village of 100 people. 100 people in this village, representing the entire world. 6 of those people would be from this country. 8 of those people would have a savings account of some kind. 8. 70 would be non-white. 70 would be non-Christian. 8 would be living in substandard housing, living conditions. 70 would be unable to read. And 50 would be malnourished. That is to help us get an idea, an image of the world in which we live and our place in it. Because of those 6 from this country would hold on to 59% of the wealth. Those 6. So we are of those 6 of the 100. What about the other 94? How does it impact us if Jesus is to be our Lord and our King? For I believe we have a unique challenge. For we are a people of freedom, of knowledge, and of great wealth. And so we are to recognize leadership that is destructive, oppression, hunger, disease, prejudice, bias. All of those things that exist in our little village. And so as we live a people of such blessing, Jesus is our King. And He calls us to serve. And also, the idea that we have a message to share. When we look at the scene on the cross, Jesus emphasizes that there is a place for everyone. A place for everyone. He tells the man next to him, who truly was a rebel, being crucified for his rebellious actions, that he will be with him in paradise. The image, understanding of that word paradise is a walled garden, a place of rest and of refreshment. And there Jesus will be as a companion. where Jesus will be present. But as we hear these words of Jesus and the message that he shares, he's just not speaking of a hope after death. For he talks about forgiveness. And this forgiveness that he emphasizes, forgive them, Jesus says. Forgiveness brings the life of heaven to earth. Think about that for a moment. For forgiveness brings newness, where the old self dies each and every day. How we are reborn. And it is that which is eternal. It is that relationship that we share with our Lord. And so as we come together and we celebrate Jesus as our King, we have to recognize what that means. And that should strike us hard.